welcome back to Made in Chattanooga. This is our 9th episode, and we're super excited to be back with you. Today, we've got a fantastic lineup of talent, expertise, and leadership from Chattanooga on deck. First, we have the one and only Mayor Andy Burke, the mayor of Chattanooga. We're going to be talking to him about what Chattanooga has going on. It's a serious time of inflection for the city in itself, growth, and where the city is going. So Mickey Cloud, our SVP at VaynerMedia, will be interviewing him. And then after that, I'll be coming back and interviewing a local instrumentalist, rapper, artist, and really kind of leader, Suevo. So we'll go into that throughout this episode.
Well, welcome everyone, and welcome to the Honorable Mayor Burke to the Made in Chattanooga podcast. So every episode, we feature an innovator and a creator from the Chattanooga community. And so today, we've got our first politician on the podcast, but certainly an innovative person. And so, Mayor Burke, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's great to be here. And I'm a first politician. It sounds like you finally have lowered yourself. You've run out of every other person that you can have on here.
And we shot our shot. We got the top dog in Chattanooga.
I think you're working your way down. And, you know, I used to say that, like, you know, I was a lawyer.
Right.
Now I'm a politician. I keep, the only thing I have left is car salesman. Well, when I get down to used car salesman, then I'll be at the bottom.
Yeah, well, you're in an advertising agency office. Yeah, so, you know, advertising's pretty low down.
Well, luckily, particularly for the people who listening on podcasts, Mickey looks like Don Draper. So when I think of advertising, I mean, you're a combination of
hopefully
Don Draper and Roger Sterling all wrapped up into one wonderful package.
Yeah, the salt and pepper hair. Hopefully less, less sexism and things like that.
Yeah, but more drinking.
But more drinking. Yes, okay, we can do that.
Just making sure.
So thanks for joining us. We'd love to start off. We ask everyone to kind of tell their origin story. So think like comic book superhero intro. Like how did Mayor Andy Burke happen?
Yeah, so my origin story is, like many's, you know, a winding tale that when I tell it seems to be more directed. I grew up in Chattanooga, and the city that I grew up in was dying. And when I left, I really thought, you know, I'm out of here. Right. Like, I'm not coming back. And more than that, I think the other piece of that is when I grew up, you know, I had my dad was here and my grandfather, and my dad and my grandfather, they both had this real work ethic where they loved what they did, and they were lawyers, but a big piece of it was they only represented people. And I would go around and hear people thanking them for the kind of the way that they helped them. And so I remember one time being, you know, at the salad bar, we were at a restaurant, and somebody came up to me and said, came up to my dad and said, you know, hey, I don't know if you remember me, but few years ago, I was in a hard place. You helped me out.
Yep.
Now, I just want you to know I'm doing much better. And, you know, you're 9, 10 years old. You're looking at your dad. Those moments are powerful.
Yeah. My dad's a surgeon, and that happened all the time.
Yeah. So those, I think, when you admire your parent, you know, father, mother, and you see that, you want to do it. And so as I eventually returned to Chattanooga and decided what I was going to do, I mean, that piece that said, how can I be part of helping people? That was a big piece of it, and decided to kind of go out and be that kind of lawyer. And then at some point I said, hey, I like government. I like elections, and I want to do that not just for one person, but for more people. And that's what led me to kind of start saying, hey, I can run. I can do this. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, I was in elected office.
Amazing. So you did have a, like, I think what is probably now a pretty classic Chattanooga boomerang story where you grew up here, but went to school and had experiences elsewhere before coming back. Obviously, you were in the Silicon Valley area at Stanford, and then you're in Chicago. So what did you learn from places like, you know, Northern California or Chicago where innovation is kind of built into the DNA of, of those places?
Yeah. So first of all, I learned I'm not very smart. When I went to Stanford, which is where I went to college, you know, everybody became a billionaire but me. I was in there, and I was the era of Jerry Yang, Peter Thiel, Reid Hoffman, Peter Westergren of Pandora. I can keep going.
Heavy hitters.
Heavy, you know, relatively you know, important yep. people. And, you know, I was the only one who didn't go out and start a tech company.
Yeah.
look at the failure. What I learned is, first of all, and this really is important, real people go out and start these companies.
Yep.
These are people I knew when they were 18, and they're real people, and they happen to have a great idea. They happen to work really hard, and it can be done.
Yep.
And so I think that's pretty important. The second piece is that, you know, there is this incredible power that comes from talent, and when talent gets in a really small place.
Yep.
And when you look at what we're trying to do with the Innovation District, it's all about getting really smart, talented, interesting people in one small location.
Yep, that density.
That density. And we see that happening in our city more, but Northern California, right, is the quintessential right. place where it occurs.
Yep. So then you came back to Chattanooga, you joined the family law practice, and then you said you had an interest in government and you knew you wanted to help people at scale, and so that's kind of what got you into running for public office. But can I also ask a question about that decision and what went into that decision-making process?
Because
where I sit from in the private sector, and someone who I, you know, until I moved to Chattanooga, I was not very politically involved. Living in New York City, it felt like it was just so massive that I didn't have much of an impact. And then coming to a place like Chattanooga, meeting you, meeting other people in office and things like that, you kind of see that it is real people that are
yep.
doing these things. But
yep.
So asking about the human side of you, where right. I imagine to run for office, you've got to have kind of being pulled from both sides of a spectrum of like humility, where it's like, I know that it's going to take a team and everything like that to do, but then also a little bit of ego to be like, but I'm the one that is going to be the public facing
right.
figure. I'm the one that's right for this job. I guess, how do you balance that kind of draw from both sides? Cause it sounds like from the outside, it looks like you need both.
Well, I do. Let me back up a little
sure.
bit in your question. And that is, like that initial decision to run is so wrenching, and people don't if you've never done it, even for people like me. So I came back and I got involved in elections, and I worked alongside candidates, and I decided, hey, I'm going to see whether there's something I want to do. So
yeah.
I volunteered on campaigns, and I helped people with parties and all those kinds of things that you're supposed to do. And despite all that, like when I put my name on the when I first went in the newspaper, my stomach hurt. Like, I mean, I was just like, well, because you think to yourself, people are laughing at me.
No.
They're saying, what?
Who are you?
Who are you to think
yeah.
that you can do this?
Yeah.
And in fact,
and you're putting your family through. I mean, it's not just you. It's everyone in your family. And
you know,
friends.
I remember at the end of the first week, and again, the election hadn't even been called yet because it was a special election and
yep.
it's complicated. But at the end of my first week, we ended a long night, and my wife and I got sat down, and she said, I just want you to let me know that you'll keep an open mind about running for re-election. And I was like, honey, we've been 1 week into a campaign. Like, you know, I got a long way to go
right,
to
right.
even know who I'm running against.
Right, right.
You know, we've it's been a long way. I've been on the ballot 6 times since then, which
wow.
is crazy. But you know you have to have that mix of, all right, I have to have enough ego to want to do this, with the humility that says, once I get there, I don't have all the answers.
Right.
And even as I run, a big piece of what I have to do is know that I can listen to you. And even, by the way, if you don't have all the answers, that doesn't mean that I dismiss you.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing that I frequently tell our staff is our constituents don't know everything, and
mm-hmm.
they don't have all the answers, but they do know their problems really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, they know their perspective.
And so if you listen to them, even if they say, and what I think you should do is X, and you disagree, you can't, that doesn't mean that you write off what they say. It's in fact
yep.
what they're saying is really powerful and important, and sometimes what their solution is right, but even if their solution we think is not the best way to go, we still have to listen to the problems and understand it and try to help.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a lot of empathy, I'm sure, but then it's also, you've got to sit down and make decisions at some point.
Yeah,
well,
I mean, I think that's the different thing, particularly about the job as mayor. I was a state senator before.
Yep.
And when you're a state senator, you know, what you do is you basically hit a green button or a red button, and then, you know, whatever happens, you say it's the other guy's fault. You know, they're the ones who messed this
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
I did
yeah.
the best I could.
Yep.
When you're the mayor, you're basically, you know, I'm the CEO of a business that essentially does about $400 million of investments a year. We have 2,500 employees. And so you got to run it like, you know, you run this office and Gary runs his.
Gary calls it a moldable dictatorship, which is, that's like the, you know, former Soviet in him, you know, kind of on the, but yeah, you've got to be open, but you've also got to know when decisions are made.
and then on top of that, you know, we have a lot of partners that we work with. So you have this extra company role. I'm not talking about like, it's like outside of your role as the CEO of a business, you have a public leadership role that says, I gotta, you know, when something happens, I need to go ask, you know, Mickey Cloud, what he thinks. I need to go ask people who run other businesses what they think and our nonprofit partners. And I can try to get you to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do just because you have a great spirit for the city. And, you know, VaynerMedia and you, Mickey, have always shown up for that. And that's fantastic. And most people in our city do.
Yeah, it's I think, a great characteristic of Chattanooga is that people show up. Right. And people will say yes to that coffee or will go make, you know, you can make an introduction and people will go meet.
Yeah, the best power that I have is not what I can do as in city government, but the fact that when I call somebody, they answer the phone.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge influence. Power.
Yeah. So I guess building on one of the things you were talking about when your wife said, you know, one weekend, she was like, wait, what are we doing? You know, that kind of vibe. I guess what were some of the biggest, you know, misperceptions? You were obviously close to you know, elected office or close to politics, I guess, as a lawyer and as someone who worked on campaigns and things like that. But did you have any things that just kind of threw you for a curveball in the first couple of months, even now as your name's been on the ballot six times?
Consistently. And I think I underestimated, particularly in that first time, what it would feel like, how it would change me. And I also, I think, underestimated how life-changing it would be to have so many people tell you their stories. That is a great thing about running for office is that people will come up to you and they just want to say, hey, let me tell you about myself.
Yep.
Like today, just today, an hour or two ago, we're on a Friday, it's Armed Forces Day when we're taping this, and a young kid named Darius came up to me at the Armed Forces Day lunch, and he said he wanted to take a picture with me. He grew up out on Highway 58 in Chattanooga, and he had graduated from Central, and he had enlisted into the Navy. That's why he'd attended the lunch, and he was really excited to go, and he wanted to take a picture with the mayor.
That's awesome.
So those moments happen so many times a day, and that changes your life. Forget everything else.
Right, right. No, that's awesome. And so what, you know, you're in the middle of your second term as Chattanooga city mayor, and you've overseen a lot of growth and evolution, I think, for Chattanooga as a city. And I think innovation's kind of been at the heart of your administration. And so I guess, what are some of the things, I know you're not done yet, but what are some of the things you're most proud of when it comes to how Chattanooga has approached, you know, continuing to evolve itself and what's the role of government been in that, but then also kind of as just a community?
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest things, and obviously started the Innovation District a few years ago and proud of what that's done, is I've tried to make sure that more of our city focus on the economic development side is about wages.
Yep.
And about growing wages, because, you know, we're a consumer-driven economy. Mm-hmm. When people have money, they spend it.
Yep.
And that's what builds our local businesses, gets people to build new buildings, you know, gets our restaurants full, all those different things happen. And so we've had one of the highest wage growths in the country for a mid-sized city. And I think a large piece of that is because we've been focused on how do we make sure that people make more money? And a big thing is, are we bringing in the kind of jobs like you have at Vayner that pay people a little more?
Yeah, for sure. And so you also, you know, outside of even economic development, you've done things with, you know, Tech Goes Home in terms of kind of bridging the digital divide, or, you know, the campaign to end homelessness within veterans, or, you know, Baby University. I guess how do you go about shaping what are the things that you're going to focus on and pay attention to as the leader of an administration?
Well, that's a great question. I think we're always questioning how we can ensure that we're tackling the priorities that people have in our city. So we do that a whole bunch of different ways. One is I'm constantly talking to people and finding out what are the big things that we're thinking about, what's on your mind, what needs to improve. I think sometimes that leaders make a mistake and they focus too much on what the problems are and not enough on what the strengths are.
Yep.
And so I want to make sure, okay, when things are going right, how do we also bring them from wherever they are to the next level?
How do you double down on your strengths?
How do you double down on your strengths? I'm a big believer in strengths. So I think there's this combination of, all right, how do we take what's going right and build on it?
Yep.
And then to make sure that we also address the things that we see are opportunities.
Sure. And one of the strengths that I think obviously Chattanooga has had is you know, whether it's through EBP with the gig and kind of the steps that happened, what, probably 8-10 years ago to start that off. And then obviously kind of the Innovation District came and we now have started to grow a bit of an entrepreneurial ecosystem. We talk about that a lot when people ask us, why did we come to Chattanooga and why do we open up an office in Chattanooga? And I think, you know, you and I have had some of this conversation before around how is Chattanooga doubling down on the strengths that we have and building on kind of the innovation economy, but we're not going to be Silicon Valley Southeast, right?
Right.
It was at a presentation earlier this week where a company was calling itself like Silicon Valley and St. Louis. And, you know, I'm sure it's a technology company that's doing great things in St. Louis, but like, you're St. Louis, you're not Silicon Valley. Like, we're not Silicon Valley, but what we do have is amazing infrastructure. We have a collaboration. We've got, you know, public-private partnerships. We have a lot of assets. So I guess, how do we build on those strengths? What do you see that, you know, coming next there?
Yeah, well, I think we don't want to be someone else. Like the best thing that we can be is an incredibly authentic, original, and interesting place, yep. And that is Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And so we have assets like the outdoors, like the fastest, cheapest, most pervasive internet in the world, like a great quality of life. And we need to isolate what we think those are. We need to invest in them and we need to grow them. And I think that's one of the best things that we've seen over the last few years happening in our city. And so we can do that. And part of that is bringing everybody to the table.
Yep.
One of the nice things about Chattanooga is that we're small enough to get everybody at the table and big enough to do something when we get up from it.
Yep.
And so marshaling our resources,
yep.
Getting private enterprise and the public sector involved, I think we do all those things very well, but we also can't just like sit around and slap ourselves on the back and go, hey, we're victory.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, everything's awesome.
And it's not a fake it until you make it thing. I think it's just a make it as you make it thing. And it's something that, you know, we've talked about. How do we get more companies like VaynerMedia who have a headquarters in New York and offices in LA and London, but then also choose Chattanooga as a strategic, you know, another office for us. And so it doesn't just have to be growing and scaling startups. It can be bringing in companies that are connected to, you know, technology space, innovation space, and seeing kind of the benefit. So quick plug, if anyone's listening or watching this and wants to know or wants to ever talk about, you know, if you're thinking about another place to come and have Chattanooga on the list, I can definitely help sell that.
We can all help sell that. I'm happy to do that. And you know, we'd obviously push to get Vayner here.
Yep.
We want to be a place that people think of as, if you want high quality of life, if you're interested in a great place to live with entertainment and frequently for those people who might want to raise a family, who love the outdoors, who think about entertainment, we want to be on that list. We don't need everybody to move here. We don't want everybody. And that's okay. Like, but we need our fair share.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I guess on the flip side of that, with the opportunities, as you kind of talked about them earlier and making that priority list, what are the things that maybe haven't gotten done that were on a priority list for you as fast as you wanted, you know, now that you're in within the second term? What are some things that you have some sense of urgency on?
Yeah, so to be clear, I have 3 years left and I'm term limited. So this is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And part of what my job is as mayor is to add urgency to what we do every day. Like to make people think, and I say it all the time, like, hey, I'm cutting this ribbon. You know, like nobody else is doing it. We got to get this stuff done. So I definitely feel the urgency, I promise, every day. I think that, you know, we're getting there in some different places. Like one place that it's less about some construction projects, but we haven't quite been where we need to be on animating our public spaces, getting as much stuff done as we can in activity in parks.
Yep.
We have things, but but we're often reactive to whatever comes to us. And so over the course of the last several months, we've been building up that side. We've hired somebody new to be our open spaces director. We've hired a person who's just going to animate our signature parks. We're trying to push that.
Programming and things like that.
So that's going to be a big piece. I do think that there are some unbelievable projects on the horizon that are physical based, like what you're seeing at South Broad and the plan that was there. Also, a medical corridor down 3rd and 4th Street. So there are physical pieces. There's, I think, building out our, and I'm going to spend a lot of the next couple of years building out our early learning system. Yep. We've mentioned Baby U. Yep. We have early learning scholarships for families who can't afford to put their kids in high quality early learning. You know, we've partnered with to make more slots. I announced at State of the City, we're going to do 1,000 new high quality early learning slots between now and the time I leave. So there's a few things, and right now stuff is going well in our city.
Yep.
And so we just need to make as much hay as we can while the sun shines.
Absolutely. And so early education is obviously, I mean, and even I, you know, my wife and I've already started looking at, you know, like care for, we got a kid coming up and think, I don't know if I'm breaking news for my wife there. Sorry about that. But
listen, it's okay. Yeah. I live a public life. Just you got to push past that privacy.
Amy's
thing.
Having a baby. But we've already felt the where people are like, oh, are you not already on a waiting list for, you know, for care when she goes back to work?
Oh,
and
my
everything
gosh,
like that.
Yeah, well, I feel bad
I know,
for you.
I know, right? So, but that's, you recently took on a national role as the co-chair of the National League of Cities 2018 Council on Youth Education and Families. And so I imagine you were selected that because you've made early education a big part of the administration and what you're working on, and then maybe Chattanooga's reputation for innovation, things like that. I guess what are you bringing to that group, and what are they looking from you?
I'm gonna first let me start and say I'm impressed by how deep your research is on here. That's nice work by.
That was me.
Hopefully, is that you? Okay. Your Googling skills, which are impressive.
I do work for an internet company.
Okay,
so,
good work. I think that's part of it. So the National League of Cities is basically the big umbrella organization for cities, and they were kind enough to make me the head of the Youth Education and Family Foundation. And it's a lot about this early learning piece.
Yep.
Because right now, if you think about it, when your kid gets to kindergarten, it's like everybody knows what you do. You put your kid in kindergarten.
Right.
But this early learning world is kind of the wild, wild west. Like, who knows what you're supposed to do? And for the most part, it's people with some kind of wealth who can navigate that system the best. And what we want to do is make it more understandable, make it a true system so that people who are in every kind of position say, oh, hey, I know what my options are. I understand it. I know why it's important.
Yeah.
And the big thing is that it's hard to win a 100-yard dash if you start out 10 yards behind.
Yeah.
And so if you are a kid and you show up to that first day of kindergarten, and I've talked to like principals who said, the average American kindergartner knows 4,000 words. I got kids showing up here who know 500.
Mm.
So I understand we should hold teachers accountable.
Yeah,
we should push them to do things. But what's a teacher supposed to do with that? And we know that that's likely to be a lifetime of that kid being behind. So we have to get kids ready for that first day.
Yeah. There's a great video we actually watched as an office that came out a couple of months back that literally it was a counselor at like a camp who was essentially showing that it was kind of breaking down privilege and in a race format where he had all these kids at a camp line up. And it was like, if you have two parents in your home, take two steps forward, or like, well, all these different things kind of show the head start that people, when they've come from, and it really visualized kind of how, you know, far ahead some, or how far behind some people have to start. And I think that's, you know, the same way with early education.
Yeah. First of all, I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
The second piece to this is that it's actually really important, not just for those kids' future, but also for parents today. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, my wife and I, we have two daughters that right now they're teenagers, but especially when they were younger, like the toughest days were the days where they're struggling.
Yeah.
And you're unfortunately going to find that out. Like, when your kid is sick, when you've got to get the kid from one place to another, all this different stuff. So when we make the kids stronger, we actually make the parents stronger. When we make the parents stronger, we make the kids stronger. And so this, it's think about it as a family unit, not just about isolating the child.
Yeah.
that's a big piece of what we've been doing over these last few years.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And the last like big thing I wanted to touch on was you mentioned the State of the City a couple weeks ago and the launch of the City of Creators campaign, which I thought was like A, really awesome work from the Humanaut team that put that together, but B, just I think a really great kind of positioning for Chattanooga as a city and where we are and where we're going. So I guess the marketing advertising side of me had some questions about that campaign. One was City of Creators something that your team gave to Humanaut as kind of a brief, or was that something that came up in their creative process?
So we went through a tortured process to come up with City of Creators. And here's really what happened. I'd been thinking about how we tell our city story in a new way.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, one great way to do it would be to say we're a city of blank and I have a value in there that mattered. So
yep.
I wanted to find something in there that was both true and aspirational.
Yep.
So something that was accurate as to who we were, but also said who we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we put up a whiteboard and we wrote all these words on it and then we crossed them off. And then we put some more words up and then we crossed them off. And then we put the same words back over and over again. And eventually we worked with a couple of people who kind of sent it out and was asking a couple of people I trust and they helped us think through it. And it came down to creators, and I won't tell you what the other one was after we'd gone through an internal process. And my preference was the other one.
Okay, cool.
And I went to a meeting and I talked through it with the team around, and a few people pushed back pretty hard.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, okay, I'm going to think about it. And I went and just did some soul searching to say, what's the right answer? And you talk about a little bit of ego and a little bit of humility. So I eventually said, hey, it's creators. And then essentially we ask Humanaut to just put together a video that highlighted that piece at the very end, which they were kind enough to do.
Yep.
Budget and no time.
I talked to David Little John, who runs Humanaut, who I know you reached out to. And when you said when you call people, they answer the phone. That's part of your.
He regrets that.
No, he doesn't regret it. But he definitely, I think, pulled at his sense of civic duty.
that was the goal
to get that done.
And we try to spread that.
Sure.
Duty and pain. Now there's a little bit of duty and a little bit of pain around. Y'all have done some fantastic work for us. We've, we try to ask people around, but I think, I take seriously my job as mayor. I take seriously my job as trying to talk about who we are and who we should be. And really this was I thought in the long run, we actually also went through various discussions about, hey, what's the process for coming up with that?
Or
how do we make sure that this is legitimate? And ultimately I kind of decided, I have to feel really good about that because I'm the one who has to stand up on a stage in front of 800 people and say, this is what it is and this is where we're going.
Yeah.
And I do. And we're going to keep pushing this next week. We're going to start some more work with City of Creators.
That's awesome.
And excited about it.
Well, it made me really excited to hear that when you shared it, because I knew we had this podcast coming out and the theme of it is we've got an innovator and a creator. And I think that really sums up who Chattanooga is. And I think you could be either one, but you're a lowly politician. And then the thing we wrap everything up with is we ask, and this is a bit of a tradition in our office. We started it as a very weird, quirky one, but we play a game called the Laminate Game. And so the Laminate Game is where we ask you some questions and they've got it, like when you give your answer, they get laminated. And so if it means for all time, that has to be your answer. You can't unlaminate something.
Okay.
And so the question is, all right, you've got your hand, five fingers. What would be the five condiments you would use for the rest of your life? And think about them as if they'd like come out of your finger.
Yeah.
And we're going
to
laminate.
Do I have to get to five?
You can leave that.
Ketchup.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a little bit of variety in types. Brown mustard.
Okay. With ketchup, do we have a brand we're thinking about, or is it just
Heinz?
I'm Heinz all the way.
All right, boring.
Right. Yeah. No.
Let's see. Yellow mustard or brown mustard. Yellow mustard.
Yep.
Does barbecue sauce count?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Barbecue sauce.
Do you have a brand there, or is that just?
Well, I'll go. I mean, I've been drinking a little. I've been getting a little Hoff
sauce. Lately, there we go. Good. And, good.
And then I will eat a wing out of any, for, you know, anywhere. I mean, you put a wing in front of me, I'm going to grab it. So I would say some kind of buffalo, if buffalo sauce counts as a condiment. Yeah.
So the debate over what is and is not a condiment has like almost started wars in this office. Right. So, but I think you stayed.
But if I can go to the other finger, there's other hand. There's only one that I need. This is the
such a politician wanting one more.
This is the anti.
Okay, the anti. All right, we'll take that. Yeah.
I frequently ask people who are serving if they will make sure that mayonnaise is nowhere near my hamburger. Yeah. I want it to be in a different place. From where my hamburger is cooked.
That's my wife's is, and I don't know why I'm just bringing up all her things, but her thing is shredded lettuce. If shredded lettuce is near, like regular lettuce, totally fine. Once you shred it, she's out.
Oh,
she's out.
I like that.
Yeah, so we all have our things. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time. I know you're busy, and we'll let you get to Friday afternoon.
Great. Thanks for all that you do, and we're glad to have Vayner here in Chattanooga.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, everybody, now we're back here with Chattanooga's own artist, instrumentalist, and rap artist, Suavo. How you doing, Suavo?
Yeah, I'm doing good, bro.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome, man. Excited to be here.
Very good. We're excited to have you as well. So, Suavo, I've known about you, of you. I've seen you live in a various amount of settings for about 3 years now. I think you're one of the most eclectic artists in this town from what you do from an instrumental perspective, the culture you bring, the vibe you bring, and this rap career that you have bumping and blowing up as we speak.
Yeah.
So,
I'm working on it.
Yeah, I love it. So let's hear about like where that's come from. What is the story behind you? What's your history in Chattanooga? How has this all come to be?
Okay, so I've been playing saxophone for about 15 years. So it started with that. I went to Tyner, so I was drum major over the band, so I've been a band geek all my life, so music has always been a big thing for me. As far as rap goes, maybe I've been pursuing it seriously for about maybe 4 years. Just the past couple have been really eventful, though. Yeah, man, it's getting crazy. I don't even know where to start. I will start. It's funny that I'm here talking with you.
Yeah.
Because VaynerMedia has actually played a pretty big part in the role of me, you know, pursuing music as hard as I am.
Awesome.
Gary V, I'm a big fan of Gary.
Yeah.
He had this video. It was maybe like 3 years back, maybe 4 years now. He had this video, and he was just talking about hustling and grinding, and, you know, you should never be broke in the time of the internet. And that just really like did something to me. Yeah. You know, at the time I was working a job, you know, I had two kids, you know, and but something just told me, like, he inspired me to just pursue music as hard as I am and just like cut out the extra. So it's just like, you know, I quit both my jobs. I was working two jobs. I quit my jobs and I started pursuing music full time, and it was hard. It was difficult, but you know, like all the time that I spent doing that, you know, I really like developed a strong sense of, you know, like this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So he really inspired me to like really go hard.
That's awesome.
You know, yeah.
We're super appreciative to hear that. I'm sure he's gonna hear that as well. And I mean, let's dig into that a little bit. So 3-4 years ago you were inspired to quit all your jobs.
I did.
And go all in on the music. And that was after 15 years of being an instrumentalist yourself, right?
Right.
So what message or what became the clarity point of you deciding like, this is what I'm gonna do, and I'm going to go all in, outside of Gary screaming at you and telling you to do it?
Well, working a single 9-to-5 cannot provide a stable living situation for you and then build for future generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like something that you're doing. You work and then you die. You know, I just didn't want to be one of those people. Like, I have a lot to say, and I feel like I have like the mindset to leave a bigger impact
100%.
Than, you know, just, you know, working at, you know what I'm saying, Amazon somewhere, you know. So
very cool. What made you fall in love with the sax? What brought you to that instrument first?
My mom actually, I was going into the band and I was gonna pick trumpet.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. I really like Dizzy Gillespie. I wanted to be like Dizzy. And she was like, well, son, I like the trumpet as well, but the women really like the saxophone players. So I was like, oh, really? I chose the saxophone.
Of course, for all the right reasons.
And she was right.
Yeah, right?
Yes, she was right.
That all worked out in the end. That's really cool. And then it was always a drum thing behind that. You're always doing drums as well.
Well, I wasn't actually playing the drums. I was the drum major. So I was the one in front of the band.
Got it.
You know, directing and giving the counts and bringing in the songs and telling them when to end.
Sort of leading it.
Yeah, definitely.
Right on.
So that definitely started like the leadership skills. Uh-huh. And then I've taken those skills and implemented them in other areas of my life.
Very cool. And then you do keys, you sing.
Yeah,
rap,
keys, engineer music, I produce music. Anything that I can do to be creative and create some good sounds.
Yeah. And you're doing it. So after being an instrumentalist, after producing for yourself, you began rapping.
Yeah.
And that's the new force right now. How did that come to be? How did that come up?
Well, my mom is as you can see, I'm heavily influenced by my mom. Yeah, she's a big pillar in the city.
Yeah,
she's a big pillar in the city. So she was a poet, so she had me writing poetry. So I've always liked to write. And it's also, we're in a time where being able to rap and rapping is extremely popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's oversaturated for sure.
Especially
But I've noticed that, you know, when it's hard to be heard sometimes, like coming from my perspective, coming from where I come from, where I grew up, you know, and also being a young black man, it's hard to be heard in a lot of situations. So I take notes from like people like Tupac, who spoke on these controversial political things and even got into a lot of political ears through his music.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of artists today are doing the same thing, like Kanye West, you know. People are just, you know, speaking their mind, and like their voices are being able to be heard through the masses hearing their music. So that's kind of what I want to do. You know, I want to develop a big enough fan base to where my voice is heard, and, you know, and then I can spread love.
That's incredible.
You know, yeah.
Unlike most rappers, though, you can produce your own work.
Yeah.
You earn instrumentals behind your own work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of allowed you to kind of network with a lot of other artists as well, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, you work with a larger collective here in Chattanooga?
Yes, The Flock.
Yeah.
Those are my guys. We're before music, we're always friends and bros. So that's what, like, that's the glue that holds all of us together. But individually, we have Jared White, who's a drummer and bassist and producer, and he's definitely the oil that keeps it running, you know, it keeps all of us creative, you know. We have EC, who is the manager, and he's fire, a fire individual. We have Martelli, guitarist. We have Phil McLean, who's an artist, singer, producer, engineer guy. He actually engineers a lot of my music.
Mm-hmm.
It's so many of us. We have Johnny Balick, who is doing great right now.
Right?
Yeah, he's doing great right now. He is actually about to be in Vancouver this September. And then we have Matt Lowe and Smathers and Johnny Smathers, and they're both artists as well. So yes, we're all just always continuously working on our crafts.
And it's a ton of talent, because I think, I mean, with my familiarity of The Flock, knowing EC and Smathers and you guys as well, it's a melting pot of culture and sound across, like, your background as an instrumentalist, going into the rap game, Matt doing a vastly different type of thing.
Yeah.
Martelli being a guitarist, instrumentalist, almost from a jam band background.
He plays like 8 instruments.
Yeah, it's
he's
wild.
Retarded.
How does that help you be a better artist? And what would you, and I think to kind of further that question, how is that unique to Chattanooga? Because I think it is quite unique.
So the artists that live in this house are all top tier musicians, and they're the best at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps me motivated, and it keeps me wanting to continuously get better, because we're in a situation to, if you slack, you will be left behind.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like we're,
and that's industry wide.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the competition in the house is just so thick.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't have a choice but to go hard. So that's why every day, if I can do something to elevate, I'm gonna do it.
Good.
As far as Chattanooga goes, there isn't a major label in Chattanooga. So Flock is somewhat acting like that major label here.
Right on.
We're also working with multiple like artists coming out of Chattanooga and building their brands, developing them. Like we have a lot of different avenues that we promote. So we mm-hmm. have pop lanes, we have hip hop lanes, we have a country singer. You know, however you come in with music, you know, we have something for you, and mm-hmm. we can direct you in a place that like best fits your market. It's awesome.
Awesome. That's incredible. So seeing where that's taking you, you're really kind of hitting the scene hard with the rap career that you're doing right now with a lot of your sounds. Mm-hmm. I saw you at Rappers in the Round, which is an event a couple of weeks ago at Barking Legs with a variety of other local rappers as well, which was incredible because I think it kind of put that jam band thing onto like rap, and it got you guys really collaborating quite well. And then I think you yourself, and I think from like coming from the perspective of marketing and getting your name out there, you're making some crazy videos.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
So to give our listeners a little bit of background, and we'll make sure that we're talking these up and getting those to the people that want to see them online as well. You've got a 360 degree VR video.
Yes.
What's that all about?
So the first video was they're both shot with the 360 camera, but the first one was just like the tiny planet. So it's like I'm riding the bike on this tiny planet, and I'm rapping the song.
Yeah.
But then the second video is where you can move your phone around and mm-hmm. just kind of see all of it from any perspective. I don't think that's necessarily been done yet. I think I'm the first one. Yeah, I think I'm the first one to actually have hands on that type of technology right now.
And which track is that for?
See How It Goes.
And where can we find those videos?
The videos are both on YouTube, and you can find the song on SoundCloud. I haven't put it on Spotify or anything because it's not like a single. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of something I threw out. Yeah. You know, I have some singles coming, so just to occupy the time, give some people something to listen to, I release See How It Goes. And that video was shot by Derek Peters. I have to mention that because that's my guy. Awesome. Chatographer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right on. So to that point, I think kind of looking at like everything bubbling up in Chattanooga, you've got artists, you've got photographers, you've got country artists, label managers, people coming together to really create this culture and this business and this ethos of really creating a sound for Chattanooga or a music business for Chattanooga. Where do you see that going? I mean, over the past 3 years, I think I feel it going incredibly rapidly accelerating. How do you see that developing as well?
I'm just as surprised as anyone else because a few years ago, I never would have just, you know, we've always had like artists, you know, every city has artists, but we've never had any like backing for the artists. There mm-hmm. was never really that oomph mm-hmm. for people to be trying to do something bigger and better than mm-hmm. what was like provided by the city. So now that like we have that, it's like I'm seeing all this money being spent, and I'm seeing there's like 20 cranes downtown right now. It's like we're growing so fast. It's crazy.
So I
can't imagine where it's going to be in the next 5 years because 5 years ago I would not have imagined us being here where we are even today. Cool. So I can't even imagine.
That's right on. So for you in the future, you're dropping some new rap tracks.
Yes.
You're bringing a lot of new sounds to the forefront this summer. Two songs that we talked about earlier that these guys, people who listen to us, should definitely listen to are Heaven on Earth, right?
Yes, Heaven on Earth. That was the last single that I released. And it's really slow. This is the first time I've ever like really like sang in like a falsetto voice.
Okay.
And it's like fully produced by me, and I also play sax on it.
Cool. And then Set. That's the other video you put out, right?
Yes.
What's that all about?
That's just kind of my introduction as far as me being one of the more official artists like coming out of the city. I just wanted to let the city know that like I have their back just like y'all have mine.
Yeah.
Like I love where I come from.
Good.
So it was kind of like I wanted to create a Chattanooga anthem. In the video, I'm at Rim Time, which is a rim shop here, and they're really attached to the urban community here. So it was like there's not another better place to shoot.
Right on.
Perfect.
Cool. And then we're gonna hear two songs from you here today.
Yes.
A little bit.
That's a newer joint. It's really short. And then Do the Most.
Very cool. Where can we find you, Swavel? Where can our listeners find your sounds, your videos, and everything like that?
Spotify and iTunes are the best way to find me at SWAYYVO and SoundCloud at Swavel. And then all across social media, it's the same name, SWAYYVO.
Very cool. We're about to go hear your sounds. Anything you want to leave us with?
Nah, man, I'm ready to get into it.
Let's do it. Thanks a lot, Swavel.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
little bit, yeah, little bit, little bit. I done hopped out first in a little bit. Told the plug, drop it off in a little bit. I'ma need one more in a little bit. Little bit, just a little bit. West side for the day with my little chick. Yellow bone from the set, call a little bit. Finna swerve flays up just a little bit. Fresh back in the sit, just touchdown. Made a play in the A, it's a touchdown. Nigga ain't seen home 2 months now. Too much bullshit, gotta cut down. Old heads from the bottom on the rundown. Unstill on the porch with the pump out. Said boy, see the same, you the junk now. Just act like I don't know what he talking about. Funny how time trends like a move rain. Now Oz wanna kick it like Luke Kane, but I just conversate by the blue face. I ain't flexing, nigga, that's how I do things. Pet myself away more than a few ways. Finna get another raise in a few days. Wanna check, gotta change how you move, man. Gotta make that money stretch like new Haynes. Ayy, tell my little chick I'm outside, finna come lay low for a little bit. Ayy, got a little homesick, now I'm finna come stay home for a little bit. Ayy, got a whole lot going on, tryna occupy the throne for a little bit. Ayy, nigga tryna get rich and it won't take long, won't take but a little bit. Yeah, little bit. Little bit. I done hopped out fresh then a little bit. Told the plug, drop it off in a little bit. I'ma need one more in a little bit. Yeah, little bit, just a little bit. West side for the day with my little chick. Yellow bone from the set, call a little bit. Finna swerve flex up just a little bit. Yeah, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit, little bit. Bit. Had to come back home for a little bit. Had to get up in my zone for a little bit. Getting money, flipping more than a little bit. But sometimes you gotta chill for a little bit. Yo.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey. Yeah, 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 yeah. Hey.
Phone,
yeah.
What's going on? I wasn't ready. Why are you yelling negative vibes? Why every time shit that you heard,
hey,
it get on my nerves? Call my phone, pick it up, raise your voice. Why you gotta do the most? Jump to your conclusions, baby, calm down. I was in the studio asking all them questions about random girls I swear I never seen before. I can hear you just fine, got your point. You ain't gotta scream it though. You ain't gotta do the most. You ain't gotta do the most right now. Right now. You ain't gotta do the most. You ain't gotta do the most right now. Right now. See, that's what I'm talking about. I can't even talk to you, switching my words.
Yeah.
Accusations absurd. I'm chasing this money.
Why?
That shit don't fall out the sky. Tell me you love me.
Yeah.
Can you shut up and listen this time? Yeah, I know them other guys did you wrong and they done made you insecure. I won't say I'm perfect either, girl, and never claim that I'm a minister. But I swear I'll be trying.
Yeah, yeah.
Bitch, I swear I'll be trying.
Yeah,
yeah, I ain't lying. Call me phone, pick it up, raise your voice. Why you gotta do the most? Jump to your conclusion, baby, calm down. I was in the studio asking all the questions about random girls I swear I've never seen before. I can hear you just fine, got your point. You ain't gotta scream it though. You ain't gotta do the most. You ain't gotta do the most right now. Right now. You ain't gotta do the most. You ain't gotta do the most right now.
right, thanks a lot for listening to Made in Chattanooga. Thanks to Mayor Andy Burke and Suevo for visiting us and sharing their stories with us. We wish you well, and we'll see you next time. We're out.